Gus, Jude and Wendell love being rewarded for a job half done. Get around Bluebet's NRL 6 points halftime early payout. Available on the NRL rounds 1 to 4. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yes, it's the Rush Hour on Sydney's Triple M. Follow us on socials at Rush Hour Triple M. You've got Jude, Del and Candice with you today. How are you, Candice Warner?
I'm fantastic, actually. I've had a really, really brilliant day.
No. What have you done promoting? What, you're promoting yourself or what have you been promoting?
No. My name's not Wendell Saylor.
Oh! Biggest self-promoter. How are you doing, mate?
Mate, I'm feeling good, mate. Life's good. It's great. The weather's great. I'm feeling great. And how are you?
Mate, not too bad. I saw Barack Obama's in Sydney at the moment. He's on a speaking tour with Julie Bishop, your friend. Any tickets to Barack speaking at all or not?
I don't know. I might slide into her DMs like she did mine.
I thought you'd be filthy that Barack Obama's over here because now you're not the only big dog in town.
I love Barack. You know, there's room for everyone else. You should know that, Candice.
Okay.
Now, well, guys, this is have a listen to this. This deadly find in a family swimming pool. A New South Wales woman has discovered 4 venomous spiders in her swimming pool and is now warning others why they should check the water before diving in. Now, these species are able to live underwater for almost 30 hours and therefore shouldn't be assumed dead simply because they've been submerged. And I mean, we get to this stage in Australia where we see these things and it just... we go another level. It's just like this and also funnel web spiders, so they're the eastern mouse spider, have the ability to bite underwater.
Now, that's just crook. That is crook. Now, if you Google this spider, the head is very wide, shiny, but the jaws of it is red and orange. Looks dangerous. And the worst thing is they can be seen during the day in late summer and the early winter months. So, look out, now is the right time for them.
It's like that movie Armageddon where you go, tell us worst case scenario. We keep finding another level every time.
100%. Like when you come to Australia, you know what to expect. There's spiders, snakes, crocodiles, sharks. Yeah, let's come to Australia.
Blue ring octopus.
It's almost like when you go through customs, when you come to Australia, you should be given a can of Mortine.
More than that.
You need more than that.
Oh, dude, mate. Brisbane, it lit up on Friday night at Suncorp Stadium, but not the Gabba. What happened there, mate? Like, I couldn't believe it, mate. The lights went out. Got to pay your electricity bill.
It was crazy, Del. So it was pretty amazing scenes in the last quarter. The lights went out at the Gabba. Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions were, you know, D's were down by 40 points. Yeah. But then there was a real controversial thing in the fact that the Demons got to go back out in the field for a little bit earlier just to warm up as they got one of the light towers back on. And Chris Fagan was filthy. They were 40 points up, but the D's end up kicking the next 5 goals unanswered and almost pinched the game. So they probably should have just been communicated really well and then got out there together.
But weren't Brisbane told not to stay inside?
Yeah, so poor communication from the AFL just to let them, one, go out and really warm up because they came out firing. 100%. And then basically Brisbane were just pretty insipid from there.
Yeah, they're certainly not the first or the only side with a poor start to a season, but the Heat seems now to be well and truly on sides like the Western Bulldogs and Fremantle with their 0-2 start.
Yeah, there's a couple of sides in that 0-2 start for this season, including the likes of Geelong. The reigning premiers haven't started well, but you know we know that they're going to warm into the year. But there's pressure on the Bulldogs and Fremantle, particularly the Bulldogs. They look a little bit rudderless. They've got a quality side. The expectations are high, as are Fremantle. Everyone expected them to be playing finals. At the moment, they just need to sharpen up because it's their ball movement, it's their ability to compete, and then also hit the score. So both sides, real concerns at the moment.
Mate, what about your Swans, mate? They look very sharp against the young Hawks side. I couldn't believe that. Now, a stiff test against the Demons, man.
It's a huge test this week. They've had probably 2 easier games to start with in terms of the Gold Coast and then the Hawks on the weekend. Belted the Hawks, 81-point win at the SCG. It was a terrific day at the afternoon. It was interesting to hear the audio from Access All Areas. Let's have a listen.
John Longmire has a major issue on his hands with Buddy Franklin, because these two should be playing AFL football and maybe they're a more rounded team when Buddy doesn't play.
Well, that's interesting. He's talking about, that's Matthew Lloyd there on Access All Areas, talking about Logan McDonald and also Joel Amati, who were fantastic, kicked 9 goals between them, absolutely looked incredible with Buddy Franklin out. But then he's saying, do they look more well-rounded? I think there's still a spot for Franklin to come in and have a huge impact. He's a big game player and a match winner. One player who was inside the forward half that didn't play that well was Hayden McLean. So I'd see him dropping out of there. But, you know, it was just great to see the youngsters step up and that's where you still need that mentor above
build that culture.
All right, Jude Collingwood. Now, they're playing some of the most exciting brand of footy that we've seen in a while. Some are actually referring to them as the Harlem Globetrotters. Now, we saw Nick Dacos and Scott Pendlebury on the weekend just running rings around the other team.
Oh, if you sit down and watch the games, they are unbelievable to watch at Collingwood at the moment. Can they keep this up? I don't know, but you know, Craig McRae's got them playing a style that you just want to switch on and watch the Pies get around at the moment. They are playing scintillating footy, cutting teams up,
that's so good.
Attacking, just taking the game off. So it's incredible to watch.
What about GWS? Mate, they had a few injuries. Poor loss on the road in Western Australia, mate.
Yeah, they were pretty poor over there in the West. Got beaten by the West Coast Eagles, who lifted, you know, and they needed to over the time. But they've got a tough game this weekend against the Carlton side. So we'll be broadcasting for Triple M on Sunday.
Oh,
so
yes.
Should be fun. They've had a number of injuries, as you mentioned, Del, but they'll get a couple back this week. They need to get it done.
What about that? I can't believe that.
Mate, with everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're sure to find a bargain at Paddy's. Guys, I was driving here to Triple M earlier today and the car in front of me, its side mirror was just sitting there and hanging, like it was hanging and just been knocked off at some stage. And it triggered a memory of mine when I was just a youngster living in the eastern suburbs, sort of down towards sort of Botany at one stage. And when I first moved to Sydney and I was driving and it was about 7:30 at night. I went to get some food like about 7:30 down at Maroubra Junction. Candice, you know this sort of area.
My town.
Your hood. I sort of parked in just near Maroubra Junction. There's a park right in the middle of both lanes. So one lane goes south on Anzac Parade, mm-hmm. one goes north, and there's multiple lanes on each side. So I parked in the middle there. And I came out after getting some food and I only looked left. I didn't look right because it's one way.
Yeah.
And I turned onto the road and there was an older lady right standing in the middle of the road, like cutting across the road with like takeaway food or whatever. Now, I've clipped her. I've clipped her arm as I've went past and I've obviously hit her. I wasn't going fast.
Oh, mate.
But I clipped her hard enough that my side mirror came off. Now, I've pulled straight over, got out of. Like picked her off the ground and I'm sort of holding it. I was just like, I'm just so embarrassed by this. Like even telling this story, it was triggering just seeing this side mirror. Anyway, and I had to lift her up and I was sort of going, are you okay? Let's, you know, what do you need? Can I take you to get this scanned or not? Like she's holding her arm and I was just like, you know, what do I do? Like, and she's like, oh no, I'm okay. Anyway, and I went off and just ended up buying a takeaway just to try and get out, but my eyes are blinking.
Wow.
The coaches are going to ruin me. This is my end of my career. I've done everything. I was just like.
Jude, did this happen about 20 years ago?
Yeah, it would have been 20 years ago.
I think it was my mum.
No.
Stop it.
No. I'm serious. I think because if it's near Noodle Junction, it happened. Something like that happened to my mum.
Well, she was a tough lady, I can tell you. But, like, I tell you what, it was one of my most embarrassing and shameful efforts.
What about you?
I've got an embarrassing
It was
moment.
Only just a short. Like,
I know.
She shouldn't have been in the middle of the road. She was jaywalking. I was like.
I've got an embarrassing moment. 2013, I was over in the Ashes watching Dave play and we just got together then and no one really knew we were together. So I was sitting in the crowd not knowing what really happens at a cricket match and over at an Ashes, they sell Pimm's, which is the most delicious drink. And it was a hot day and I'm a real lightweight. I had a couple too many Pimm's.
Oh, wow.
And I was sitting there with one of Dave's friends and I got up and I thought I was sweet, but I wasn't. I walked out of the aisle and up towards the ladies' bathrooms and I didn't realise that the grandstand was hanging over and I absolutely headbutted the grandstand in front of the Barmy Army, basically knocked myself out, fell over, got back up, sort of dusted myself off and just walked into the bathrooms and just bursted out into tears. It was
Did they all notice? They surely did.
Everyone saw and cheered. It was so embarrassing.
That's so good. You know, you love a bakery, and you know, sometimes you're strutting into the bakery, and this will shock you. I was real keen to order up, and as I was strutting in, sometimes the glass was that clean. It was like that, yeah. And I went,
"Are you in like, yeah, I like a bird speed, just yeah, sitting and sliding down back,
the... like that magpie in that commercial?" Where bang, and I was like looking around, and people were like looking at me laughing. So
the bakery would have shuddered.
Yeah, I know it would have, but don't worry. I ate a lot out of that bakery when I got in there.
Well, let's get it out to our callers. 1-3-3-5-3. Let's just tell us your that moment that you're ashamed about. What's that? Not your finest moments. Let's go to Craig. How are you, Craig?
G'day, boys. How are you?
Welcome good to the Rush Hour, mate. What's that?
Thank you.
What's that not that finest moment of yours, or what are you ashamed about?
Okay, so when I was a young fella, so in high school, I was besotted with this young lady for the whole 6 years of my high school.
Yep.
She used to torment and ignore me in equal measures. So one afternoon, I'm walking down the street and I hear this really familiar voice screaming my name out of a passing car.
Yeah.
So I look over and here she is. Dad's driving down the street. She's wound the window down and she's calling my name. So I thought, oh, geez, it's Christmas. So I'm waving as I'm walking along the street, straight into a road sign.
You walked in the road.
That's so good. I love that.
Taking the eyes off the prize.
Look out. Gotta be aware, mate. Awareness.
Look out. Let's go to Sam. How are you, Sam? Welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thanks, guys. How are we?
Not too bad. What are you ashamed about, or what's not your finest moment?
Almost 30-odd years ago in high school, I was the coolest kid playing flute in the school band.
Oh, yeah. The flute.
One time at band camp. Yeah. Sorry.
Already that puts me in the cool category. Anyway, I was getting ready for the procession. The school procession begins. The whole school's sitting there, and I got to sit down to begin my flute. And as I got to sit down, my chair had just moved off the edge of the stage. I've gone arse over tits straight off the stage.
You fell off the stage.
I fell off the stage.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
That is very embarrassing.
Yeah. How'd you get yourself off the ground, Sam?
With a really awkward smile, and I think I ran.
Oh,
you poor thing. Jason, what are you ashamed about? What wasn't your finest moment?
Yeah, hey, gang, how are we?
Good,
Jason.
Yeah, you won't believe it. It was Christmas Eve, and I went out with some mates and went to a mate's place after we'd had a couple of sherbets and actually jumped out of the cab, and I said, I'll fix it up. You go inside. He goes, yeah, no problem. So anyway, I've paid the bill and gone inside this house, and I thought, oh, he must have gone to sleep. So I've laid down on the lounge. Remember, it's Christmas Eve.
Where were you sleeping? Jace. No good.
Jace is asleep.
He's walked into the wrong house.
Missed the punchline.
Unbelievable. Let's go to Joe. How are you, Joe? Welcome to the Rush Hour.
G'day, guys.
How you doing?
About 25 years ago, I used to play cricket, and after a big night the night before, hot day, we'd finished our game. The team went to Macca, stopped off on Macca's on the way to the pub. Went into McDonald's. The smell was overwhelming, so I needed to throw up. I went racing out of McDonald's, got to the automatic doors. But you know when you get there too quickly, they take a time to open?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I was at the automatic doors. I was going to throw up, and coming in the other way was a mother, father, and two children, and I vomited all over them.
You vomited over the kids as well?
The whole family.
No.
Raced to my car and drove away.
Oh, yuck.
Mate, we'll give you a Rush Hour merch pack for that. The trackies, the key ring, the stubby holder. Incredible.
That stinks.
Wow, it was horrible.
Oh, disgusting. We'll go to Jace. Jace, we lost you there. How are you, Jason?
Yeah, guys, so I've gone to sleep, laid on the lounge. These two kids are coming out in the morning thinking that Santa Claus has been, and they come out and say, "Mom, Dad, we've got someone sleeping on our lounge." And I said to the guy when he came out, I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm looking for Darren." He said, "Oh, he actually lives in the house behind us."
How did you get into the house?
And went to the wrong house, mate. It's been told at weddings, and everyone that knows me knows the story. It's an absolute classic.
So brilliant.
So you basically just broke into their house.
Yeah, broke into their house.
Ellison's are the best. I love them.
Candace, you've got the floor.
Yeah, so today I'm wearing this beautiful jumper from Camilla and Mark, and I'm going to tell you why exactly. So do you know that ovarian cancer is the deadliest female cancer, yet there is still no test, which is unbelievable.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Del, you've got a daughter. Yep. Jude, you've got two daughters, and I've got three. Now, there is no test, and that's purely because of lack of funding. Over 13,000 females die a year of ovarian cancer, yet there is still no early detection test. So this shirt, this jumper that I'm wearing this year, London-based artist Alba Hodsell has created this year's Ovaries Talk About Them limited edition artwork. Now, painted on this is a beautiful abstract interpretation of a woman's anatomy, complete with ovaries and a vagina, which appears across all their T-shirts and sweaters. So thinking and talking about the female anatomy, and you guys knowing so much about women, I would like to quiz you.
Oh, okay, really?
Yes. So, okay.
Like right now.
This is how the quiz is going to work. I am going to ask a question, and then you use your name as the buzzer. How well do Jude and Del
Raiders? I like it. You've got a little opener for this.
Did you put that together?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no, I didn't actually. Yeah. All right. How many ovaries does a woman actually have?
Sexual chocolate.
That's not your name.
That's what I call myself.
Okay, how many?
Two.
Yes.
Sorry. Told you.
Sorry. Did you say sexual chocolate to jump in?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'm feeling good about myself.
Okay, question two. How long is a woman's monthly cycle?
Sexual chocolate.
Oh, I think I had the shorter
name. 28 women, days.
Mate, 1 week. 7 days. Okay, sorry.
Jude?
28 days?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Didn't know him that well.
7 days?
Sorry.
Please, that would be horrible. Okay.
That was bad.
Question three. When a woman has a baby, what pathway does the baby use to exit the mother's womb?
What pathway?
Come on, you both have two kids.
Sexual chocolate.
Okay.
Is it the tube?
The birthing tube.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're kind of getting there. Yeah. It's the cervix or the birth canal.
Birth
canal. I was on the wrong pathway.
Yeah,
I was on the wrong pathway.
All right.
I was led down the wrong garden path.
You guys are starting to get a bit red. Yeah. Like, I feel like you're a little bit sweaty
really
and nervous.
Yeah.
All right. What does PMS stand for?
Sexual chocolate.
What?
Don't you know?
No, I do.
Don't you know? We're asking you.
No, I do know.
Post.
Menstrual
cycles.
Post.
It's not PMC.
I know.
Jude, come on.
I'm rattled.
Jude, come on.
Post-menstruation stress.
Oh, my God. No, it's premenstrual syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I've got a shocker, mate. This
okay.
My goodness.
So you've only got one question right each. So if one of you gets this one right, you will win.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What does the cervix do?
Jude?
Yeah, I'm glad you know your name.
Cervix stretches to allow the baby come out. I don't know.
Well, I'll give you that. It divides the vagina and uterus.
No, you can't give him that.
Mate, people are driving home. Look out. I'm very married, very embarrassed. But
though. It is incredible cause. We need to get an early detection test for this.
Yep. Kids, sorry only Candace had to bring that up, but it's a great cause.
No, you guys need to know a little bit more about the female anatomy.
You
know
what? More about female.
I've got some work to do before
I'm embarrassed.
Time for this. Because it's Tealess Tuesday. Finding out who starts and who doesn't in the context of sports. Well, Del, a massive Thursday night clash sees the Roosters and the Eels at Allianz Stadium. We've got Joey Manu serving a one-game ban for the high shot against the Rabbitohs. The versatile Drew Hutchison moves into the centres.
Yeah, Drew Hutchison, he's Mr. Fix-It. And we know Joey Manu, he's a good player. He's a big loss. We know them when they turned the tide a couple of weeks ago against CS. He's your man. But Drew Hutchison, he just fixes things. He's Mr. Fix-It. This is going to be a cracking game. And big prop, Junior Parlo, he'll be out also. So for two-game suspension, that'll be a big one for him. To miss, plus his big energy, he sets the standard. So this will be a cracking game. I'm going to the Roosters here.
Saturday afternoon, a must-win game for the Dragons. They'll be taking on the Eels from 5:30 p.m. at Wynn Stadium. Jack DeBellin's calf didn't quite recover against his match against Cronulla, but he's been named in the extended squad, which is a good thing for him.
Yeah, I know Jack DeBellin. He's one of those players who sets an energy. Obviously, he's very strong, and he gets a gauge that the boys love playing with Jack DeBellin. But he's one of those, you got to be consistent, and that's what he does. He hits hard, and he sets that standard.
And with the Dolphins, Anthony Milford moves from 5'8" to halfback to cover for Sean O'Sullivan, who tore his pec.
Yeah, Sully's been really good. I think Sean O'Sullivan's been a good player for a long time. He's always, you know, come in and done the job. But Anthony Milford, that's what Wayne Bennett does. And I said this to you the other day, Candice. He makes you accountable. So leaving him out for a couple of weeks and then making him earn his stripes, and that's what sets the culture at the Dolphins. So Milford will do a good job there, and they won't miss him.
Rabbitoh Storm, Friday night, 8 p.m. It looks like Alex Johnson did suffer a slight cork, but it looks like he'll be against the Seagulls. He'll be good to go. But then Jerome Hughes is still a week away from returning from suspension. So Jonah Pezzett still retains that number 7 jersey, mate.
Yeah, well, when you got, as you said, you know, the Rabbitoh Storm game, we all know what the Rabbitohs did last week. You know, it was a great win. But, you know, once again, when you got Cam Munster, I said it to you last week, he just makes such a difference because you know why, Candice? He's a winner. You know that dude. And we all love the Munster. He's cheeky, he's a scallywag, and he just loves playing footy.
Yeah, Broncos take on the West Tigers. Kevin Walters has named the same 17 that beat the Dolphins last week, and Tim Sheens is stuck solid with his starting 13 from round 4. Adam Dewey remaining at fullback.
Yeah, well, this is a danger game for the Broncos because when you're playing in front of that 51,500 people last week, you've just got to make sure that you execute it again and you back up, because being on a high after that game sometimes can bring a low. And the Tigers, they're due for something. There's got to be an upset somewhere. So they'd love nothing more, because when you go to Suncorp Stadium, you get excited, you pack your going out clothes, and you think, boys, let's beat the Broncos here and get out and about.
Old habits die hard. Look out. Bulldogs versus Cowboys, Sunday, 6:15 at Accor Stadium, and a favourite son returns. Josh Reynolds will play his first game for the Bulldogs since 2017.
Yeah, well, this is a really good story. You know, Josh Reynolds, he's been part of the Triple M family and call team, and I love his passion. You know, he's one of those players that he just wants to play football, and he's not on big money. He wanted to go back to the Bulldogs, and so the coach there, he's backed him, Cameron Seraldo, and he'll bring so much energy. But also, you know, the Bulldogs faithful, they'll love seeing him play.
What do you make of the Cowboys' form this season? We know that they made the semis last year, but they haven't seemed quite at their best yet.
Well, I said this start of the year, to play at that level again week in, week out, it was going to be hard because they had a lot of young players, they're on a roll, and this competition is so tight. They just haven't got back to those heights, but that's the NRL, and that's why it's such a great comp.
This has just come across my desk. Sniffing other people's sweat.
Oh, no way.
Can help treat social anxiety, a study suggests. I mean, I don't never know how big these studies are, but this apparently happened over in Sweden, the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. They've said sniffing other people's body odor may be able to help treat social anxiety, according to new research. Armpit sweat was taken from volunteers who watched either happy or scary film clips, including Mr. Bean's Holiday, Sister Act, and The Grudge. And the samples were then used alongside more traditional mindfulness therapy to treat social anxiety. Someone got paid to do this study.
You know what? This has to be a joke. This has got to be a group of people who just like sniffing people's armpits, and now they're putting a label to it so they don't look weird.
You reckon they've turned a fetish into a study?
That's exactly what they've done.
Is that what it is?
That's exactly, because no, there's no way in the world that sniffing someone's armpit can help with your anxiety.
Like, what do you think, Del?
Give me a break.
Yeah, well, I'm a big sweater and I've got anxiety bad. So, mate, you want to try it on me?
I am not. The last thing I would do is sniff your armpit.
Really? Is that right?
No, thank you.
I'm getting anxiety thinking.
I would rather spend thousands and thousands of dollars seeing a therapist than sniff your armpits.
Okay, fair enough.
But there might be different effects on treatment depending on the volunteers' emotions while perspiring, which is why they got them watching films elicit particular feelings. However, the effect was the same films, whether the sweat giver had been watching a comedy or horror.
Oh, nice.
These random tests.
Yeah. No.
I know, mate.
They spend months and months locked away, and that's what they come up with.
It's people just trying to justify their paycheck, as simple as that.
Oh. Or their fetish.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour on Sydney's Triple M with Jude, Del and Candice.
When you look back at the big things in rugby league from the 80s and 90s, our next guest was one of them. Alan Hellinger, it was predicted!
played over 200 games, including representing the Blues in Australia.
Paul Harrigan is on the ground.
And also had time to win a premiership in 1996. He headed to Hollywood after footy to keep Russell Crowe out of trouble. And, well, that sort of worked out well. Please welcome sportsman, tough man, and now author, Mark Spud Carroll.
Spud, welcome to the Rush Hour. I mean, you were arguably one of the toughest players in one of the toughest eras of rugby league. What made you decide to get checked out, I guess, for CTE?
Well, firstly, thanks for having me on the best FM station I know. it was after watching the Mario Fenning story. I had many battles with Mario, but also I played with him at South. And the thing about my era coming through, you had to get him first, otherwise you get whacked in the head. And my favourite thing on him was a shoulder charge, and my strike rate was pretty good. So I just went and through James Graham, I just said, mate, can I have the doctor or Winner's number? And I sat there, and she sent me for a MRI and also a PET scan. Waited for 2 weeks, and then she come back. I was at work, about to start work at the gym, and she said, your MRI is fine. I went, tick, you know, how good is this? And then she went quiet. I went, you're there? And she goes, I'm not happy with the PET scan. There's spots. And but then again, I asked for the exam. I knew there had to be damage the way I played, but when you hear those CTE, I said to her, am I going to die? And she goes, there's ways we can get around this, but mate, I was bawling. You know, I ended up going home. I just, the main thing I said, please ring my wife and speak to her in English what this means, but yeah, it's a bit of a shock.
Spud, you played the game so tough, and everyone knows I would have to say that you're one of the toughest to have played.
Oh, he's a gladiator.
You know, without a doubt. Now, how many concussions do you think that you sustained in your career, not just on the field, but also at training?
Oh, it's hard to say. You know, I'd say at least 50 without blinking. Thing is, as a kid, I remember, you know, being violently ill after being concussed, getting home, and, you know, violently ill is not good. And then I started wearing headgear because the thing about headgear is it makes you, it's about your confidence, especially when you're a defender. I played 5'8 up until I was 18, and then I started growing through the forwards. But when you wear a headgear, you put your head in places where it's not supposed to be, but it gives you confidence. But I remember as a young bloke coming through from, I was 19, playing what they call under 23s, and you go and hit blokes like you're hitting someone that was 19, but you're hitting blokes who were 25. But I found the only time I had, I call them a shutters, is when, it was never when I took the ball up. My philosophy was always to run as hard as you can, like my favourite Jeff Robinson from the Bulldogs.
Yeah, yeah. What a beast.
The harder you run, you don't get hurt. But the main, when I say a shutter, it's like when you're going for a big hit and your whole body just sort of stops and then you did the noise, you shake it off. Well, back then we used to do smelling salts. So it's pretty. I look back now I look at some of those visions and people still say, Spud, how did you get up? But the background of myself, my dad never played rugby league, but I felt he knew everything. And his motto was, never show your hurt, always get up. So I was more worried about my dad jumping the fence and kicking me up the ass.
So it was a badge of honour. Like, playing on was basically a badge of honour.
Yeah. No, it certainly was. You know, Dell was on the back end of my sort of career, but it was a badge of honour. When you come off, you're going to be called soft. I had one of the hardest coaches, that being Bob Fulton, who unfortunately now passed away. But Bozo taught me how to play rugby league. And I was the person, I had to do all the damage through the middle. And blokes like Cliffy Lyons, Steve Menzies, I think he scored 23 tries and I got 180 stitches in one eye. But I did my job.
Yeah. Well, we're on a group chat and, you know, there was Keefe Cole. You know, he's a pretty tough player. There was Sean Garlick. And, mate, I was just laughing. You said, hey, boys, you got to get scanned. And I said, mate, I was only a winger. And you came back at me. And what did you say?
Yeah, I want everyone to have a crack at it. Yeah. I worry about my era, but also the era before, who were my heroes. I wanted to be the Jeff Robbins. I wanted to be the Ray Price perpetual motion. I wanted to be Terry Randall. I wanted to whack as hard as I could. But I'm just saying to the players, if there's an opportunity, but the thing is, the sticking point is this. The PET scan is $900. You're not covered with Medicare or health cover. So that's why I've been, I don't know if I'm talking a different language, to the NRL to step up, do the next hit up, and take these, any player that has any concerns, pay for the bill. It's 900 bucks, right?
Absolutely.
They come out saying they made 60 million last year for the players have put their hand in straight away. What about the former players that set this from the ARL to the NRL without our players, without my heroes? But they're not heroes to me and Dell. They're the people in the main street.
Exactly.
You know, we just lost John Sattler.
Yeah.
Mate, he was a hero. Not to players, but I mean people going to the game.
Spud, now knowing the consequences of contact sport, would that have changed the way you approached the game? You know, like as a young man, you would have had no idea about this sort of stuff.
Dude, I'd play again tomorrow.
Sorry
for my passion coming through, but it just gets under my skin that the league have not stepped forward and done the next hit up. If they come up and say, okay, we're going to do that, that'd be fantastic. Mm. But I've had over numerous phone calls from different positions. Dell's saying he's a wing. I've had two from fullbacks in my era. I've had, you know, players back in the 80s get in touch with me saying, Spud, what do we do? Yeah. You know?
Stick around, Spud. We want to ask you whether the game was more dangerous when you played or the modern footballer now. Spud Carroll is here.
Some of the fans, some of the media say the game's gone soft. What do you say to them?
They've changed all the protocols now, haven't they? Mate, you blink, you come off.
There's still the collision there. Like,
of course there is.
In Origin, like Saifidi and Big Tino, I was on the sideline, and I said to you, I think we were at a charity event, I said, mate, can I tell you, I'm glad I'm not playing anymore, because these kids are 15, 16, and when you and Chief, I've got to say this, when you and Chief used to go at each other and then you stand over each other, mate, for me, I was going, these are gladiators, and I wanted to go through the middle.
Yeah, but see, he'd been brought up there. As I said, Chief was the same, but we'd bash the tripe out of each other. And at the end of the day,
have you spoken to him?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I speak to the Chief quite often.
What did he say?
It's the balls in his court. I'm not saying you have to go and get it, but I'm just asking. I'm a mate, Peter Johnson, who was a big hitter.
Tough as nails, mate, yeah.
But back then, he used to. Now they've changed the rules in NFL. You're not allowed to lead with your head.
No targeting.
That's why they've
changed
the rules here in our game. We're not allowed to shoulder charge. It was my signature move.
Yeah.
And now they've changed the rules, but there's a thing last week. It was at the Boston University. They've got their own CTE center, right? They had 376 former players. 345 had symptoms. Like, come on, 91%. I know they're wearing crash helmets, but I reckon the crash helmets are probably worse than us.
Yeah.
It's like two car crashes, but I'll tell you what, our game is not far behind it.
Have you spoken to the NRL and Clint Newton at the RLPA as to why they won't help you guys? From what you're saying, to me it sounds like it's something that should be mandatory, that they have to help you.
Well, I'm still a bit peeved with them. I'm not here bagging them. I just want to help, okay? If someone hurts themselves at my gym, the next day I ring up and make sure you're okay. It's called duty of care, okay? In that piece that did with Jessica Halloran for The Australian, that was the most emotional week an interview I've ever done. For me to come out and say that I've had suicidal thoughts, and I was more nervous about let my wife and my kids know that they're going to read something that's going to scare the shit out of them. It's not right to be thinking like that. So, and I've, a man of text messages, I've had people saying, Spud, I've been in the same area. I've done, you know, I thought about the tree. And I'm thinking, yeah, that hurts, you know. But as I said to Candace before, I feel better now. I've said it. I've cleansed myself in some way. But I really want to help players. I'm not asking for any money. No, I'm not asking for class action. I don't want any compensation. I want to help my former players who I play with, and my heroes.
Let me ask you, is 11 days stand down, is that enough or not?
No way.
Yeah.
I heard it was from 6 to 11. Mm. Who picked that 11? Some bloody computer did.
It's just an arbitrary number.
It was the same, whatever that bloody word is, a mathematics equation. Mm. 11, it should be at least 14, maybe even 3 weeks. But I feel for someone like Kalen Ponga. He's now flown to Canada for treatment to find out what's going on, right? Unfortunately, as I said, concussions stay in your body. Boyd Cortner went to dive on the ball. His head hit the ground, knocked himself out. Thank God he's retired, you know. And I think Carlin, as I've said before, it's only a game of footy, man.
Yeah.
It's not life. I wouldn't like anyone to be going through the stuff I go through. Some days are diamonds, some days are bloody rocks, you know, but just got to, they're the cards you deal at the moment.
This worries me so much. I'm in the gun as well, Spud, from my playing career. I had two concussions in one game. I can remember back in the day, and probably about 6 or 7 major in my career. But, you know, those ones where you're seeing stars times, you know, like, but just major ones where it's sort of on the ground. But just that, when did you start noticing behavioural changes?
Probably at home. Yeah. My wife's, you know, I think I'm moody and I've always been like that, I suppose. Who knows? Yeah. You just don't know what's going on. But then you then go and speak to psychologists and all this stuff these days, and then they reckon you're bipolar. That's a cop out.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Like, yeah, he goes ADHD, 100%. I'm 56 now, but just the impact of, it's not only sport, right? It's life in general. When I was told, Dr. Rowena said, can you go to a concussion meeting? And I get there and there was a couple of ex-rugby union players. Mm. And there was a couple of people. One guy was there with his dog. I said, "Oh, hey, mate, what's your name?" And I said, "What's going on with the dog?" He said, "Oh, when I lose it at home, they go, Dad." And then he's got to pat the dog. There was another guy. It was a criminal lawyer, yeah, right? Yeah. He fell off a push bike doing about 30 clicks. Hits. He said, you don't have to be a rugby league, rugby union, AFL player. Yeah, even cricketer gets hit in the head. I worry about that young kid who's been kept getting the donger, you know? Like,
Will Pukowski.
He's had multiple.
I've got to ask, what about this? You're talking about when you get hit, and it's true. When you're young and that, we did it through the juniors because I said, I only got knocked out once or twice. Mm. But in Origin, mate, you wanted the first carry. You know, I wanted the first carry, so I used to fight Gordy and Shane Webke for it. Yeah. And when you got hit, it was like you went black and then you just shake it off and you go again. You go, I'm right to go. But that's the way we were built. We're gladiators. We're wound up and we're machines ready to go.
Yeah, but our signature thing was come back in the defensive line, yell at the trainer, salts. It's the smelling salts, which I don't know what's in it, but geez, it smelled great. And I think it might be some sort of ammonia, I reckon. But the thing is, that was the thing, you know. But a couple of times when I went against the Chief, it's crazy. I used to visualise a lot of games, especially when I was against the Chief, and I had to get in quick, you know. And one time I went too low, and there's vision of me getting up and just going thump. And he reckons I left divots, which I probably did, but I remember I got in the defensive line, salts, and I could remember the next play. It's called deja vu. I didn't think it was true, but I asked the doctors about it, and I knew what the next play was. It's crazy, man. But,
wow.
Yeah, like I said, I'm here to extend a branch to the NRL. Can you please listen to me? And I'm not talking any other language. I'm talking English. Players need help of my era and the eras before and the eras before that. The new ones, the new guys these days, they're looked after, okay? Mm. Look after who bred and made your, you know, the NRL.
No, well said, Spartan.
Love you, Spartan. You're a good man.
Well, you've got our support and all our listeners as well, mate. You're an absolute gladiator and we hope you and all the past players are in good shape, mate. Now, this has come across my desk, weird sports, and this one has got to be one of the weirdest. It's called the Balloon World Cup.
I usually get scared when you say something's come across my desk.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty proud I've got a desk at Triple M. That's one thing.
Well, there. I don't have one. Okay, so you guys have a desk and I don't. I feel a little bit left out right now.
You've got to earn that right, Candice. You've got to save at the bottom.
She's earned it. All right, here we go. But the Balloon World Cup, rather than having a kick to kick or, you know, kicking a ball into a net or anything like that, the aim of the game is just similar to the one you'd play at kids' birthday parties. If you've ever seen Bluey, maybe off TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically keepy-uppy with a balloon. They've turned this into an absolute sport, and it was actually started by Spanish former football player Gerard Piqué.
Okay.
I'm the man.
And so it's been running for 2 years. Can you believe that? This is an actual sport.
Do you know what I would prefer as a balloon game would be, and I think it would be far more entertaining, is having a competition who can blow up the balloon the biggest until it just bursts. Don't you think that would be good? That would be more entertaining. But if you sort of think about parties and some of the games that you played when you were going, you know, when you were a kid, with the egg and spoon, the three-legged race. My favourite is, however, the donut eating competition.
Which one's that?
Surely there's a donut eating competition.
Yeah. Haven't we got?
No. So what happens?
Joey Jaws. What's that? Oh, that's a hot dog.
So you get a line, and then you hang the donuts down so that it's just near your mouth. Then you put your hands behind your back, and whoever can eat the donut I probably won't do that after seeing you do that. But whoever can eat the donut the quickest wins.
Oh, I'd win that. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we should do this tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any other random sports that should be created or not? Like, what other stuff? Like this.
There are some sports.
Surely
that
we've got better than the Balloon World Cup.
Well, there are some sports, weird sports that have been created, like wife carrying.
Oh yeah,
I've seen that. It's been all like they're charging down the road. They throw the wife pretty much over the shoulder. I'm pretty sure.
It's a bit like your life, Lynette Bolton. Lynette. You know I love you.
Lynette will just come and find you from that. Don't go into those areas, mate.
I will find you.
Yeah, there's also a sport, chess boxing. So it's a combination of chess and boxing, which I find bizarre because I don't think a boxer would play chess, and I couldn't imagine someone who is good at chess wanting to jump into a ring.
How do you pick up a chess piece with a pair of boxing gloves on?
I don't know the ins and outs. I'm just telling you some of the weird sports are up.
The one
that really spiked my attention, though, was bog snorkeling.
What is that?
Well, it's not dirty. Well, no, Dell. It's not what you think it is. Get your mind out of the gutter.
It's always there.
What it is a team that try to move a small keg containing beer, so it's full, across some mountains for miles. So it's actually not that exciting, but I thought the name interests me.
So that's been happening for years over in the UK. And
surely.
Just, that's it. That's all they do is just carry kegs across the peat of the bog.
Yeah, so there's camel wrestling, cow racing, dog surfing, the Dunny Derby.
No.
These got to be Olympic sports.
This is ridiculous.
Olympic sports, surely.
Well, there's elephant soccer.
Soccer. It's good.
Where have you seen elephant soccer? Why did you watch it?
I've seen it in Doco or something. I don't know. I don't know what I was dreaming. I've seen it, but. The Rush
Hours. Well, Del, Aaron Woods is officially signed with Manly. Here's what he said yesterday about it.
You know, I've been playing lower grades as of late at the Dragons. I was 18th man on the weekend, and it just made sense.
Yeah, so it's a good move for Woodsy, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think it is. I know I joke around with Woodsy and say, mate, you're 18th man or you're playing reserve grade. You may as well just come here full time because he's a big part of our family, but he's still got a bit to offer.
Yeah, why would Seabold have signed him? What can Woodsy bring to Manly?
I think I've known Woodsy for a long time. You know, he's a good family man. He's got a good work ethic. He's a champion bloke. And I just think that Seabold's got a lot of young players there. And he just knows that he just needs a player of his stature there that's experienced. And, you know, we all know Woodsy. He's the world's best bloke. Good for club culture.
Now, new details have emerged about Parramatta's search for a fullback, which puts, you know, Captain Clint Gutherson in a bit of an awkward situation. It was revealed last week the Eels were given Gutherson's approval before entering the market for a so-called X-factor fullback that could give the club a spark. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, look, Gutho is a great club, man. I understand that, you know, Parramatta want that X-factor, but, mate, I wouldn't trade Clint Gutherson for the world, mate. He not only saves tries, he scores tries.
He's so impactful, isn't he?
He is. He does the Gutho, and he is, like, captain. He's the energy of that team.
He'd be one of the best defensive fullbacks in the game.
100%. He's just a competitor. I think his motor, we all talk about Dylan Edwards and that, but his motor and the way that he competes, and, you know, you can't help but like Clint Gutherson.
Del, now Raiders 5'8", Jack Whiten, Eels prop Junior Paolo and Cowboys back rower Jeremiah Nanai will all spend the next 2 weeks on the sideline.
Yeah, look, it's a tough break because these are three-class players, you know. But, you know, if you're going to spend time on the sideline, it's probably better now early in the season when rather than the finals or, the big games.
Now, I was taken aback by Gus Gould's comments about Suali'i last night. Mm. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think for me...
Well, let's have a listen to those.
Go now.
I don't know how Nick would feel about
it. Don't let the door hit you on the arse on the way out. See you later. Gone.
That's harsh. Oh, you know what?
Well, but that's he's made his decision.
Yeah, he's made his decision, but he's still in his NRL contract to play. You can't just tear up a contract and get rid of him.
All right, well, he signed a contract for a rugby 18 months before his rugby league contract ends. He can't sign with any other rugby league club in that time. He can only sign with rugby. Yeah. He's made his decision. I've got nothing against the kid. I've loved having him. He's a tremendous athlete. Great for the game. But he's decided to be a rugby player. Bye-bye.
A bit salty there, isn't he, Gus?
Yeah, well, I think Gus has got a short memory, mate. You know, like, you know, he's hopped from club to club, and I just think he's a young man who's talented, and, you know, he's got a contract still. I love keeping him here. I want to see him play for the next 18 months, and, you know, and then I want him to come back. There's been a few other players who have done it, you know, Sonny Bill Williams, Lottie Dakiri, you know, Matt Rogers, you know, myself, and it's football. It's a business. Their body is a business, the way they play and what the players do, so... Good luck to him. He's a good young man. And you know what? His parents, his mum and dad, they've invested in him. And as a kid, you know, when you go to, you know, you go to junior sport and that, and you know, Candace with the girls and that. So who is Phil Gould to tell, you know, Joseph to head off now?
And he's still going to give his team, the Roosters, everything he can.
Mate, if you ask me, if the Roosters are going to win the grand final, it's going to be on the back of some X-Factors like him. And then, and next year. And as a fan... I love him in our game, and let's appreciate him while he's here.
And the comments are a bit hypocritical as well, because Suali'i actually came from rugby union first.
Yes, exactly. So, Gus, mate, stay in your lane, brother.
Huge show tomorrow. We've got Jaden Brayley joining us from the Knights. Yes. We'll also talk to a couple of Newtown bartenders that are not actually having any bartenders in their pub.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Incredible.
What? Unbelievable. Need it's the rush hour tomorrow. Hey, get home safely, everyone.
Love you guys.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.